Morning, beautiful family. Morning. Hope your heart is as bright as the sun outside. If not, we're here to help you. We love each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, please know you're honored guests. And we just thank you so much for coming our way. Brother McNeil said that you're looking for a family and the truth and to be a part of a loving church family and those who seek to continue in the Apostles' Doctrine. We would love to have you be a part of it, and we'll help you any way that we can. Definitely good to see so many here this morning. We know there's a lot of sickness going around and something that we're always going to have to deal with, but we know that God has blessed us with health, the right frame of mind, to be able to come out to worship Him today. And we ought to come out to worship Him in spirit and in truth as God has commanded us, so definitely good to see so many out. Last week, next week, I'll probably get back to using the technology, and I wanted to go a little old school again this week, as I like to call it. Last week, I began a series of lessons entitled Returning to Your First Love. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read over how Christ and his dealings with the church of Ephesus was, and then we're going to give you a little case study, because you know sometimes we don't realize that we've left. You know, it's easier said than done, per se. You know, sometimes we feel like we're okay. Sometimes we feel like we're going the right direction. But in the end, we've left our first love. You know, I mentioned last week as we turned to there for our scriptures this morning, I mentioned sometimes it happens in life. You could be with somebody 10, 30, 40 years and maybe be with them physically, but your heart's not with them. It's not there. You can smile, you can eat together every day, you can be a part of each other's lives and, you know, show affection to one another, and yet and still, you left your first love. It happens. Let us look at Revelation chapter 2, beginning verse 1 through 5, and it reads as such. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou hast can't not bear with them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Again, on the surface, review a little bit. The church at Ephesus had a lot of great things going on for it. They had a lot of good things. They were laboring. They were working for the master. They showed patience towards themselves and others. They also stood up against evil and made a stand against evil. They stood up against false doctrine. They had borne and had patience, and for his name's sake had labored and had not given up. But Christ says, I still got a problem with you. You've left your first love. And you may say, well, how in the world can all these wonderful works be done? And Christ accused them of this. And to make it more personal, how in the world can we live the lives that we live? Not like the world, not evil. Still dealing with sin and calling sin, sin, and Christ can say the same thing about us individually. I mentioned last week that when I first began to put together a series of lessons, I did it through tears because I realized that at times in my life, even though the work was there, I left my first love. Maybe not in a situation, but I try to look at scriptures as a mirror, but it brought tears to my eyes how many times I was just kind of on cruise control, just by and by, just going down the left of life, going through the motions of doing things for God, and didn't realize that I left my first love. As I said before when I started my lesson, we're going to do kind of a case study on this because it's easier said than done. That's why we always have to be on guard for it. At this point in time, when the church in the book of Ephesus, the book of Revelation was written, there had been about a generation since the church had begun. Paul talks about it in detail in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. He talks about the fact of even the leadership, the elders. He says, be careful because grievous wolves are going to come among you and divide the flock. going to come out from among you. There was going to be problems in the church, and sometimes that's not dealt with as well. But then he says, you know, you left your first love. They were still strong and faithful after a generation. That's great to say, right? But they still left their first love. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to see some other folks who had left Jesus. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 41. Just to give it more of a practical application, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to learn some lessons from that kind of ties into Revelation chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41, reads as such. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem and after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary, his mother, knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days' journey, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us, thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to them. Have you ever been left somewhere before? Somebody ever that you had a ride, or you supposed to be riding with somebody or going with somebody, and they kind of left you unintentionally before? It's a bad feeling. Now, I hadn't been on the recipient of that, but I drove off or maybe forgot to pick somebody up a time or two in my life. You get so busy and thinking about things you're dealing with, and your mind is already there where you're going, that sometimes you just forget. We have a story about a relative of ours that basically left his wife behind. They were traveling out of town, and he went and she went in to use the bathroom, and she came out, and he was gone. And he went way on down the road to the fact, and that was before the days of cell phone. So somehow, some way, somebody got in contact with him. I think it might have been the highway, but I'm not sure, to tell him to go back and get his wife. Nothing was done intentionally now. He just assumed that she was in the back sleeping, because that's where he left her when he went into the store. Innocent things happen like that. It was not the intention of him to do that. It's not the intention of me sometimes to forget, but the reality is sometimes it happens. But yet and still, Christ says, nevertheless. He didn't say whether he did it intentionally or not. He didn't say whether he did it purposely or not. He says, nevertheless, let's deal with the problem at hand. You left your first love. Life has a way of causing us to do that. It happens to us occasionally today. When this happens and we realize it, it's often a certain dread or fear that comes upon us. Oh my goodness, I've left this person. I forgot this. I forgot to turn the stove off. I left my phone at home. Me, I lost my wallet again, whatever it is. It's a certain dread or terror that comes over you. And then you go back and you begin to retrace your steps. Well, I didn't have it here. Remember I had it in this store. Remember I had it over here. And I bought this. I put it back in my pocket, I think. And then I thought I did that. I got home and put it in my normal place, and it's not there. What happened? Somebody forgot when they put it. Somebody forgotten that, not even thinking about it, they put it in the last place they would look. I'm speaking about myself. The last place they would look. And then when I found it, I'm like, it makes absolutely no sense for me to put my wallet there. I don't normally put stuff there. But my mind was somewhere else. It was focused on do other things and other tasks and all the things I had to do every day. It happens to us. How in the world, of all people, could they leave Christ behind? 12-year-old boy. Should have been right there behind him. Walking. And it didn't go 100 yards. They didn't go a mile. They went a whole day's journey before they realized it wasn't. How does that happen? You ever thought about that? This is the child. This is not a cousin. This is not one of your child's, this is your child, flesh and blood. Did he not notice when it was time to eat, he was nowhere to be found? Did he notice that he was not asking them when they were going to make a bathroom stop? Did he not ask, realize that when they asked him this and when they realized he was gone, that nobody said they were tired and their feet hurt? What happened? This is mommy and daddy. It happens to us. Many today are just like Joseph and Mary were. They were religious. They went to worship. They went to the Feast of Days. It says when they fulfilled the days in righteousness, they left. But they also left Jesus. I feel sometimes in life, this is exactly what happens when we gather together collectively on the first day of the week. Jesus is here. The Bible says two or three, where I am, two or three are gathered in the midst, there I am. I'm not saying he's just here, he's part of us every day, but do you take Jesus back out in the world with you? Do you take him to work with you Monday? Do you take him shopping with you Tuesday? Do you take him to the ball game on Wednesday? Can he sit and watch TV with you on Thursday? Can he hang out with you on Friday? Can he get up with you on Saturday? But oftentimes, we leave him just where we found him. They left Jesus. Mary and Joseph, again, symbolize many of us today. Many become weighed down with too many other responsibilities and cares and never realize that they left Christ a long time ago. And there's nothing per se wrong with the duties and the things that we have to do today to take care of families and other responsibilities, but please don't leave Jesus out. And the sad part about it, just like they did, they should have known that he wasn't there. Again, this is parents that were there. Know the son's voice among 100. But you see all the background noise, people laughing. There was a huge crowd. It wasn't just his family. There was a huge gathering that walked up to Jerusalem and were going back home. So he got lost in the background noise. He got lost in the hustle and bustle of traveling. Do we do the same thing today? Do we leave Jesus? Mary and Joseph were together with Christ in Jerusalem. It reminds us of the fact that the apostles and early Christians were gathered together with him in Jerusalem early on in his ministry. Jerusalem is where the gospel originated. It is where the Lord's church originated. A lot of wonderful things came out of Jerusalem. I know you don't really see it now. You turn on the news and it's in the middle of a war, that particular area of our country, but so many great things come out of Zion and Jerusalem. Many men since have left Jerusalem. The reason why we have so many religious bodies today, because somebody left Jerusalem. Somebody never went all the way back to continue in the apostles' doctrine. I mentioned last week, and I won't mention examples, man, it is crazy out there in this world what many folks are doing under the umbrella of Jesus and God. Stuff that has no business, that is as secular, that is unrighteous as possible. But they say because they're doing it for Jesus that he accepts it. Many of us today are offering blemished sacrifices. Now, what I mean by that is, you go back into the book of Amos and Malachi, we talk about the fact of God had such anger against them. Not that they were not worshiping, but they didn't give him his best. Not they were not living for Jesus, but he didn't have their best. They weren't like the heathens. I said last week, some of us just want to be one notch above being called a heathen. But is that really what God wants for us? To see some people being a Christian requires too much time in your schedule. Serving God means that I can't do some of the things I used to do. See, I never meant to do this. I just want to be able just to skate in before the door closes in heaven. I ain't got to be at the front. I just want to get in right before, jumping through it like it's about to be locked. Is that what God wants? If that's our mindset, I dare say, Jesus, you left him a long time ago. doing the bare minimum and not giving him your life, I fear, according to Scripture, that you left him a long time ago. What about us today? In the middle of the second century, going back to the fact of how man is left, they begin to err and depart from the apostles' doctrine. We see this all throughout Scripture. We see Paul warning it. This is what basically John the Revelator is telling us, at the end of the first century, there were already folks going into apostasy. You see it in the middle of the second century. There were 46 provincial church councils. We'll talk about this in a study that we're going to pick up on definitely no later than 2 weeks from now, about the church in the beginning and spread of it. By the middle of the third century, there were numerous officers and offices unauthorized by the word of God. By the middle of the second century, the church was engulfed with the observance of pagan holidays, rituals, and they considered them holy and righteous. From A.D. 100 to A.D. 1500, the doctrine was changed by adding penance, Latin Mass, purgatory, the Pope, transubstantiation, celibacy, indulgence, and sprinkling, and calling it baptism. Somebody left Jesus a long time ago. Mary and Joseph realized that they had left the Lord. Thank God they did. They then made every effort to go back and find it. Put yourself in that situation. They're going along. They hadn't heard from Jesus all day. They know he was back there playing with his cousins. Him and John the Baptist are back there cutting up, maybe like we do. Goofing off, running off, chucking rocks at each other, tripping each other in the back of the line. And they just assumed he was with them. You know, we do that sometime in life. We just, once with Jesus, and we just assume that he's still in the boat with us. Didn't check. Didn't see how he was doing. Didn't show our face to him. Didn't decide to have an intimate relationship, a conversation with him. We just assumed he was there. We just took him for granted. We take Christ for granted oftentimes in life. It's okay, I have the Father in my life. I'm a Christian, but what does that mean to you? What does it mean? I'm in the Lord's church, but what does it really mean to you? Does it mean everything to you? And if your answer is in the negative, I dare say you've already left your first love. God came to be our life, not a part of our life. Not something we fit into our schedule, Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever. He came to be our life. This is exactly the problem he was dealing with the church in Ephesus. Christ, even though they were doing great things, I dare fear that because he accused of living that first love, even though they did it, he was no longer the reason. We just had this holiday passing in December where people say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, we know what Scripture teaches about that, and we know about it, but most of the folks who say that don't even realize what they're saying. Because the last person they honor is Jesus. The last person they really lift up is Jesus. It sounds good. It's a nice cliche to say. But I think sometimes we say that as well. That's why lessons like this cut me. But it's also good medicine to help us realize and check to make sure that we hadn't left our Savior. All of a sudden, they realized. They needed to realize. They realized that something was dreadfully wrong. What about us today? As we examine our lives, do we realize that something is dreadfully wrong? That we once assumed that Christ was with us in our life? We spoke the same religious jargon. We said all the right things. We could quote two or three scriptures. We show up every now and then, and somehow we assume Jesus is with us. But I dare say, we've left our first love too. How do you fix it, Brother Curtis? Because we've all been there. Let's talk about some things about how to find your way back to him. Why did it take them a day to notice Jesus was gone in the first place? A whole day. Not an hour. Not 30 minutes. It could happen to anybody. You just get caught up in living life. You just get caught up in it. It's not your intention. Some people's intention to leave them, but we get the picture here of Ephesus. That was not the intention. So I've got to be on guard for it. But nevertheless, that's why he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, there were some churches in these seven churches that were downright into apostasy. That was not Ephesus. That's also the danger of us as well. We sometimes just want to be right here. As a congregation of Lord's people, we're getting ready to embark on something new, a couple of months with having elders ordained and the way God wants his church to be a part, to operate. But what does it mean? What kind of difference is it going to make? I'm praying that it will. I'm definitely praying, and those who are chosen, I think that's the mindset. But there's no time to rest. There's souls that need to be saved. There's neighbors that need to hear the gospel. There's family members. There's folks who strayed away that are just looking for the right person to reach out to them and say, come home. There's people in your own life that you know need Jesus. But we're too afraid of them getting mad at us. We're too afraid of saying, you know, you're doing things. I know you say you're Christian, but let's talk about what God says about it. You hang out with them. You eat with them. And we never mention Jesus to them. We never say your soul's at stake. We never say repent and return. If that's the case, I dare say that we've left Jesus too. So what do we do? First of all, we got to realize that we cannot afford any longer to leave Christ behind. Got to come to that realization that you're not okay. That it's not okay to be a great distance from him. It's not okay. It's not okay just to have one foot in the world and one foot in the... It's not okay. If you never come to that, how in the world can Jesus be the love of your life anymore? Because some people get that way, even in relationship. We just okay. We just going to go into heaven like this. We're never going to be like we was. We're never going to have it. We just going to be roommates. That's all we're going to be is roommates. We just here. You pay your happy bills. I pay mine. This, I'm talking about a marriage relationship now. We're going to get along. You sleep in your room. You sleep in that one. We go on separate vacations, but we love each other. What? How that supposed to happen? You're not showing it. How do we show we love Christ? By giving our life to him. We got to realize that first. We can't afford to. He's too important. Many want to take Christ, but also leave out his body, the church. It is not possible. You can't separate the head from the body. So we got to have a mindset, first of all, to realize that we can't live without him, and then go back and get him. Somebody once told me, if there's a distance between you and God, guess who moved? It wasn't Jesus. We left him. That's what he accused Ephesus of. Go back and get him. The best way to find anything in life, trust me, I know, is to retrace your steps. Exactly where you put them, where you last remember putting them. The lost and sinful must turn around and repent to find him. But they had to go all the way back to where they left him. See, Christ was about his business. I get the picture of the prodigal son. You know, we talk about the prodigal son, and we talk about how loving the father was. And we talked about how it also hurt him to give his son his inheritance before he died and to see his son go back out in the world and live a holy, unrighteous life. We also talked about the fact that the father never went to search for him either. He prayed for him, he longed for him, but the father had to continue doing his business. God is doing the same thing for us, but we're the ones who have to return to him. He's not going to come banging on your door. He's not going to come peeking in your windows. He's not going to do that. Not because he doesn't love us, but we're the ones who have to return to him. We have to. So we got to go back to him. Make that decision. Next, we must remember our first love. Revelation 2:5 talks about that. Remember where you fell from. Remember how it was when it used to be and you were on fire for Christ. Try to get back there again. Because you were at one point in time of hoping and praying that Jesus, you woke up with him in the morning with him on your mind. He went through you without the day. You prayed to him several times. You just had to get a little bit of scripture to read and to get you to feed your spirit. What happened? What happened? So you got to remember how it was. Because it can be restored just like most relationships can be. Remember when, how, and why you lost your way. Because you got to do something with that, too. Because probably, if you're not careful, the same thing that tripped you up and led you away from is going to trip you up and keep you from going back to them. You got to go the same way. You got to go the same route. You never lost if you can backtrack. So that's what they did. We get the picture of Mary and Joseph went back to the same road, the same way to get in, just in case he didn't make it all the way back into Jerusalem. But they were looking for him nonetheless. At what point did you begin to feel alone and deserted by God? What point was that? Because your Bible and mine says, I'll never leave nor forsake you. But there are times when he wants us to realize that we can do it and to give us a chance to grow spiritually, that we are put in places of darkness or uncertainty. But understand this, he's still nearer than that we breathe. We do that sometimes in life, don't we? We'll be sitting in a room that's dark, in there for a while, somebody walks in, and we sit and they walk right past us. Because the eyes are not adjusted to the light. We were there. Eyes are adjusted to it, but they didn't realize it because the eyes are no longer adjusted. Point number two, they went all the way back to Jerusalem to get it. They didn't say, well, you know what, I'm going to stop right here and Cousin Susie and Cousin Johnny, y'all go back and get him and then bring him to me. No, sir, no, ma'am. That was their son. That was family. They wanted to make sure they went back to get their child. Nobody can come back to Jesus for you. Nobody can. Not family, not church. You have to do it alone. You have to be the one to make that decision. The Lord's church began in Jerusalem as well, not Rome or Salt Lake City. If we find in any other place, I can guarantee you according to Scripture, he's not there. We must return to Jerusalem to find out how God wants us to act and set up and build his church. Point number three, we must then find him physically. What I mean by that is, the Lord's church is still in existence today. You see it? It never dissipated. When Tim and Brother Tim and I get through the study, you're going to see church is always in existence. Maybe not prominent. We even get a picture of Revelation talking about the church in the wilderness. That's talking about the Lord's church. They had to hide in the wilderness because of the great dragon, but yet still it was still in existence. You go back and look at all the countries and do a detailed study of history, the church was always there. Those in America at least had the mindset to attempt to restore the apostles' doctrine, but make no mistake about it, it's not a new organization. It was always there. Then you got to want to have a personal relationship with it. That's scary for some folks because we don't want to see Jesus. We don't want Jesus seeing everything we do. You know, Jesus, I want you to be in my life, but you can't look in that room. Don't go in that room. That says close. Don't go with me over here, Jesus. I want you to stay right here, but you know, Friday, Saturday night, I'm hanging out with my friends. Jesus, stay right here. Stay right here, because I'm going to go over there and cuss somebody out. Stay right there, Jesus. Close your ears, Jesus. Put some earplugs. Have another conversation. Ain't you got somebody else to look after? Well, right now, I want to be me, and I'm going to tell everybody they need me bad and give them a piece of my mind. He still hears that. You can't leave him behind somewhere. We must stop fooling ourselves. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He tells us all throughout Scripture and the Bible. Christ tells us that we must be connected to him, not only to him, but also abide in him. Without him, we can truly do nothing. John 15:5 says that. And then in John 15:7, he says that we must abide in him and let his word abide in us. We must allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in our hearts, according to Colossians 3:16. The consequences are so severe because it could cause us to lose our candlestick. Christ says in closing, Revelation 2:5, repent, or else I come quickly and remove the candlestick from us. Now we all at some point in time have senses of urgency. I know sometimes it may be if you're sick, getting to a doctor. That's why we have things like urgent care where maybe you can't get to your physician. His hours are closed. We have emergency rooms when we're really sick and things like that that we're blessed to have. when you look at your spiritual condition, understand that if it's not right, it is a thing of utmost urgency. Why? Because it has eternal repercussions. Don't just look into God's word and say, I know I'm not right, but, you know, next week I'll get it better. We do that with treacherous diseases today, right? When someone is given a terrible diagnosis of cancer based on how bad it is, oftentimes they go immediately into treatment because it could spread and metastasize. Why don't we do the same thing about spiritual sickness? The last thing you want to do is spread and take over your whole body. We'll sit, spiritually cough, spiritually not be well, have no desire, lose our appetite for the things of God, and believe we're okay and that we're not dying spiritually. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. What do we do? Christ is begging today for us to return to our first love. I had to do this from time and time again, and the more I do it, the more I know to be on guard for it, because every time it looks a little different in my life. But I said it happens. Use the example of Mary and Joseph. It was never that we see their loving parents. And think about Mary. I wouldn't say any different, but he was different in a special way than his other siblings, because he had some younger siblings according to Scripture. Now, we don't get the picture they were lost, because she didn't say they went back and looked for all of them. It was Jesus that was lost. But maybe the fact that they had other children, they didn't realize that he was not dead. Maybe the fact that you got other things in your life that are priority to you, you don't realize that Jesus ain't there. It's not a matter of putting these things out, but it is a matter of prioritizing things a little differently in your life. Sometimes we got to reorder some stuff. I tell folks all the time, and I have to be careful of this every day, and God doesn't usually, or Satan doesn't usually attack me, not God, but Satan usually attack me with things coming down Front Street. But as I said before last week, sometimes good is the enemy of best. That's how it comes to me. Good stuff. Catch off guard. Not necessarily bad. I do. I got that. But sometimes, if you settle for good, it will keep from being your best. If you settle for the bare minimum, there's nowhere in the world you're going to be what Jesus wants you to be. You can't be. You're on cruise control. And please don't go through this life blindly, because my Bible and yours says judgment's going to begin at the house of God. It's going to start with us, which means that everybody that names the name of Christ ain't going to make it. They ain't going to make it. You got to dedicate yourself personally. Develop a relationship with himself personally and decide to work for Jesus no matter what. But who likes it? Who don't like it? We're all tasked with working for the Master. That's it. That's it. Not for fame, not for prestige. We're all here to work for the Master. And that's our reasonable service. I'm not here to get the glory. Y'all shouldn't be coming to worship because of me. I'm not Jesus. You won't hear that in some places. I guarantee you that. Because a good reverend doctor don't show up, people don't. No. Some don't look on this earth anymore. And we don't know what the future holds. Y'all better keep this thing going. Matter of fact, I know you will. I know you will, because I know y'all. But it ain't about one person except Jesus. Everybody else is workers. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe. I plant it. Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. All we are is planters and waterers. That's it. But do so and keep Christ as your first love. How do we be saved? Well, the Bible tells us that, according to what tradition tells and other different doctrines, we hear the gospel. I mentioned a situation last week where somebody just said, you know what, it don't matter. Do you feel saved? Yeah, I feel where you saved. What? That's not scriptural. Because when folks wanted to be saved from their sins, Acts 2 and 38 says, you hear the gospel, Peter preached the first gospel sermon, then they repent of their sins. And they didn't stop there. Because some people say, just ask God to forgive you your sins, ask to come into your heart, and that's it. But that's not what Peter said. When the church first began, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. For what purpose? So I can join the church? Mm-mm. So I won't be called a heathen? Mm-mm. So I can date this pretty girl I thought when I was 12 or 13 years old? Mm-mm. For the remission a forgiveness of your sins. That's all we do. We confess him, bowing up to his word. And guess what? If we don't honor him now, he won't honor us then. We deny him before men, he's going to deny us before his Father. But I want us to really reflect on this, because I have and I'm still doing it. Make sure you haven't left your first love. And if so, all we have to do is repent and return. But you better do it quickly. We ain't got time to play. I think about this all the time, that we don't really realize, and I don't think we take to heart what God says, how he's coming back. In the twinkling of an eye, as a thief in the night. That's how fast it's coming. That's not going to be like basketball or football, no two-minute warning. You're not going to get three timeouts when the clock run out. That's not going to happen. He's coming back just like that. And if you're not ready, whoa. Life happens that way. There are many folks who were among the living yesterday who made plans for today, but aren't here. Don't wait. Repent and return before it's too late. So as we stand and sing a couple of verses of selection or two, we'll ask if you will, we can do anything to help you along the way.